This episode of Humboldt Holding Up is brought to you by Los Bagels. You know, here at Loco, we love the month of March because it's Los Bagels' birthday month, which means they have awesome deals on food and drinks all month long. This year, Los Bagels is thanking the community for 37 years of support by offering baker's dozens for just $6, small coffees for $1, and daily food specials for $3.70. So visit Los Bagels for their special March deals at 403 2nd Street in Eureka and 1061 I Street in Arcata.
It's Humboldt Holding Up, the Lost Coast Outpost's half-vaccinated podcast. My name is Andrew Goff.
And I'm Stephanie McGarry. Can you guess which half?
I don't know. You think people can hear it in our voices?
I think that people sound different after they're vaccinated because they have that sound of being better.
Yeah. Well, it's clearly not you then.
Oh. Hey. So, Andrew, it's so nice outside.
What are we doing in here?
We're getting to the warmer months.
Yeah, Humboldt's getting good again.
Humboldt is getting good again. It's that time that we wait for, and especially after this last year. Ugh, I cannot wait to do things around people again.
You know,
at places.
When you go out and you are amongst the people again, what you might want, in addition to a vaccine, is some new threads, right?
A fresh new look. Okay. Yes, as you emerge. I've been thinking about this. I've been thinking about how I'm going to reinvent myself for my emergence.
All that to say, today on the show, we have Jason Brandy. He is the owner of Humboldt Republic, which is a clothing store. They have a shop located at the corner of 4th and G Street. Whether you know it or not, you have probably seen some of Jason's clothes, his designs out in Humboldt. And let's get him in here.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi, Jason. Are you at your store or?
Yeah, I'm in my rat cave right now.
Okay. What goes on in the rat cave?
That's where the magic happens, I guess they would say. This is where I design and all that good stuff. I just surround myself, the clothing and the paperwork and all that type of stuff.
Okay. Well, I think that, you know, we have a lot of stuff that we want to talk with you about, but I think the most logical thing might be to talk about why we're recording this at a different time than we initially had planned to. You had kind of a bummer week. Yeah.
Yes, I definitely had a little bit of that bummer syndrome, I guess you could call it.
Okay. Why don't you tell people what happened here?
So unfortunately, it's becoming more of a common occurrence than desired naturally, but you know, as society kind of goes back and people start losing a little bit of hope, they get a little bit of desperateness. And I think people that, you know, break into stores, they don't look at things logically. You know, a lot of people say, well, why don't they rob Walmart or Target or things like that? Why do they hit small business? And I can't justify it, but I think maybe people just get back into a corner and see an easy target and try to take advantage of it. And throughout the week, we had quite a few theft attempts. We stopped most of them. But on Wednesday, we had a theft attempt and a lady went into the changing room, stuffed her purse, came out. I'm like, you know, I counted 6 hangers in. You're only coming out with 3. I'm pretty good at math. But, you know, we took a picture of the license plate and, you know, post their face. And that's about all we could do. Yeah. And then this following Friday morning, I get a call from the police station saying that, you know, my windows are smashed out and can I come down? And you know, it's just a little smash and grab. They smash our window sometimes, but this time they hit our door, which was odd because you kind of have to like crawl through the door versus a window. But
Yeah.
So they crawled through, ran back to our Rock Revivals, grabbed some and took off. You know, it's
back unlike- to you. Ran back to your what? I'm sorry, your...
Oh, Rock Revival. So we carry a jean. It's more of like a luxury pair of jeans.
Okay.
More higher item. They could probably trade it and get more commerce for it than like a hoodie. Some people, they have the courage to smash the window, but then once that alarm goes off, they just grab what's ever next to them. And then other people, they they got a lot more courage, man. They'll run all the way to the back of the store and risk the chance of getting caught.
That sounds like somebody knew they had this kind of planned. They knew, you know, what they were wanting to get.
Yeah, they had some intentions for sure. Yeah. Unfortunately.
So sorry to hear that.
You know, it's becoming, God, you know, a lot of people are like, man, you handle this really well. And I'm like, well, you know, after 9 years and a constant occurrence, especially more the last, I would say the last 2 or 3 years a lot more often. It used to be like a once a year, once to twice a year thing, and now it's about 5 to 8 times a year.
And I mean, and you think, you know, is there something unique about Eureka that you think is contributing to this rise in crime? You keyed in on the fact that you mentioned a hopelessness, and I don't know, what do you think that stems from?
I think with the hopelessness, who knows, when you're sleeping in the cold, maybe when you're down on your luck, maybe you just got evicted from your place and you're saying, hey, how can I make money now? Maybe it's a good idea in their mind to smash out a window and get a few high price items. I have a feeling a lot of it has to do with drugs. You know, I think the highest commodity for stolen theft is you could just trade it straight over for drugs. And so if there's like a drug guy that likes the pants and, you know, doesn't want to pay full price for them, he might have somebody that will steal them and get, you know, more of a discount that way, more of a hustle that way.
Yeah. Well, see, it seems like you have this is not going to break you. You seem to have a pretty good attitude about this.
Well, you know, I don't want to give myself too much credit. It's more of through the years that the moments that it does break me, it really stumps me on other progression. You know, if I let something ruin my entire day, I might not get other things done. I might also be giving my employees, you know, a subconscious negative feeling, and I might affect their day, and they might go home and have a bad night and really be mad at society. You know, my right hand, Megan, she's with me through everything, and it seemed like she had a harder day than me, you know. And it's because she's starting to, you know, she's been with us for 5 years, and it's starting to get more taxing on her. And what the public doesn't understand, this affects us mentally in other aspects. And, you know, so now when we have, you know, rough characters walk in, oh my God, are they going to steal? Are they going to do this? And that person just might have a rough look to them, and they have all the best intentions. Yeah. But it's sad how we could subconsciously perceive and label. And I think it's just a defense mechanism, you know, because when you experience so much theft attempts, and when you look at the cameras and you see, you know, people and familiar faces, now your brain subconsciously is going to like, God, was that the person? No, that wasn't the person, you know? So what I try to do is I hold on to my best grit and try to lead through example. And like I said, I'm not trying to give myself too much credit. It took a lot of years to get to the point where I'm like, okay, hold strong.
Well, we really appreciate you, you know, fitting us in, even though it was a bummer week. We want to get to, you know, Humboldt Republic and your story in a second, but we wanted to start out just by cluing you a little bit about, you know, why we reached out to you. You know, like, we at the Outpost, we have our own little text thread, as I'm sure most companies do, where we yak back and forth about what's going on. And the other day we started debating whether or not we have a definable regional fashion here behind the Redwood Curtain. And so we thought, you know, who better than the owner of one of Humboldt's largest clothing brands to weigh in on this. So we'll start out, you know, kind of in the big and philosophical. We'll put the question to you, Jason Brandy. Is there a Humboldt look?
I would say absolutely, but I wouldn't categorize it to one look. You know, one thing, you know, in my early profession, I always thought maybe I should get out of the area to, you know, seek success, but I just really love the area. And the reason being is I love the individualism. You know, having a clothing store in Humboldt has been overly challenging, but it's made me so much better at my craft for the simple fact that every walk of life walks through my door, you know. And that's one of the interesting things that we do is every week we try to target a different demographic. You know, we have people that, you know, work on a cow field versus we have people that work on a farm, a cannabis farm. Also, you know, we have really earthy vegan people, and we have extreme meat eaters. So one of the things I love about Humboldt is it keeps me on my feet. And I would really say it'd be unfair to say we have a look. You know, there's people that refuse to wear a dress shirt while there's other people that are refuse to be caught without one. You know, yeah. I get a lot of guys coming in like, man, if you just had some more dress shirts, I'd shop here more. I'm like, really? Okay. I did not expect that.
Yeah.
Okay. One thing I can find challenging though is when I go to LA or Vegas for the conventions, all these conventions, they're trying to, you know, sell us on the brand new look. Like this is the look this year. And I find that troubling because the brand new look there might be our look about 5 years, you know?
Right.
Okay.
I remember the first year I brought joggers up, you know, joggers could be a jean, they could be a twill pants. They kind of have the elastic at the bottom. They kind of remind me of how the pants were in the 80s when you wanted to peg your pants, you know?
Yeah.
And when I brought those up, I had guys coming in like, what are these? Are these pants? Are these sweats? Like, why is there elastic at the bottom? I'm like, hey, you know, they call these joggers. And people refused to buy them for like the first 2 years. And now the same guys coming in like, man, I love these pants. They're so comfortable. You know, they don't.
Oh, yeah. You know what I'm think that might be interesting about the COVID times is like, because you'd say maybe Humble is probably just like a little bit more casual. You say there's some guys who really want the dress shirts, but I'd say compared to a city, like in general, there's not a super lot of excuses to like have to look, you know, business or like really dressed up or like, you know, black tie. It's like people are kind of a little more laid back.
Nailed it.
But during COVID, that's like become the look. It's like that's what all of the big brands are doing now. They're making like, you know, stuff you can be comfortable in at home, but like kind of you know, work from home, like basically
the all day pajama.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The like slightly elevated casual wear or like leisure wear, and that's like already the Humble look. So in a way, we've kind of like become the trendsetters now.
That is a really like really great awareness perception that you have there, because it's funny you say that. A lot of, you know, the distributors and manufacturers I order from, sweatpants, like they're just, I'm like, man, you guys have never carried so much. I'll be honest with you, about 5 years ago, come June, it was hard for me to get manufacturers to make sweats because their other clients in LA, nobody's thinking sweats in June. Yeah. So I was the guy that bought all the old stock and all the sweats year round. And, you know, I had one guy go, man, it's the middle of July and you're buying sweatshirts. I go, yeah, you can wear a sweatshirt in Eureka at night.
Yeah. You think that Humboldt wears more sweats than other regions?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Just straight.
Yeah. I want, you know, when people are passing through, you know, whether they're camping or checking out the Redwoods, they would come in the store and their biggest surprise is how many hoodies, you know, fleece outfits that we carry in the middle of summer. Like, wow, you guys got hoodies. I'm like, yeah. That's probably my number one selling item is a hoodie in the store, and in other clothing stores, that might not be the case.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, when you're, you know, trimming, you got to go through a lot of sweats too.
So yeah, that makes sense. You sure that's do.
Makes sense. Yeah. That's a big item here.
A lot of people come in. A lot of people come in smelling like the Humboldt cologne, as I say.
So we don't have a look, but we definitely have a smell. That's what you're saying.
Oh, we have a smell. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So all the cliches ring true. Is kind of what you're confirming.
You know, I hate cliches. I hate labels, but there is some truth to them.
So let's talk about Humboldt Republic specifically, because I think y'all are an interesting phenomenon, and I feel like I see your designs out and about a lot, or you know, at least when I used to go out. But for people listening to this who might not have an idea of what Humboldt Republic is, maybe you could just give kind of a company overview of what you do.
Gotcha. You know. Sometimes I wish I had like the better story, and my story is, you know, very simple, but I hope my simple story can inspire other people to have a little hope. So I kind of turned the simple story into more of an inspirational one, but we really didn't start off wanting to do clothing. You know, I was help producing music, putting on shows with a few guys here locally. And we wanted to really kind of more touch base on nightlife and shows. And I really appreciate certain production companies like World Famous and the Northern Nights guys, and really love what they're doing. And so when we were putting on shows, we had a show coming up, and, you know, me and my DJ that we were doing it together with, we're like, hey, let's design a shirt. And the first 100 people to buy a ticket, let's, you know, maybe that'll encourage some more people coming to the show. Said, yeah, you know, and I was already designing, what I did as a profession was design. I was a graphic designer, but most of my clients were in LA and San Francisco. And we got the idea because he saw me designing a shirt for a brand in LA. And he's like, yeah, let's design one for our line. And you're like, you know, let's just keep it corny. You know, let's just get the California flag. Let's put some redwood trees in there. Let's take out, let's take out California. Let's put Humboldt in there. Yeah. And we got the shirt printed, and it was terrible. The shirt was terrible. I'm like a medium or a large, I would say. And I had to wear like a 2X. The colors didn't come out right. It was the worst shirt. I was so embarrassed. But you know, we had to hold true to our word, and we passed out the 300 shirts, and the response was just incredible. Oh my God, this is the greatest shirt. Oh, yeah. I love this shirt. I'm like, no, you guys, you can't be serious, you know? And then they go, so when's the next shirt? And my big mouth, because I was just so ecstatic that people were happy, and I always do this, and I 2 weeks. And I'm like, why did I say 2 weeks? So
now I just wanted to back up a little bit and kind of set this, the scene. Like you're talking about you're doing shows, and it occurs to me, like, what shows are you doing? Like, what year is this? Like kind of set that a little bit.
So 2007 to about 2010, we were just, you know, hey, what bar is willing to take us on? What DJs are willing to perform? And just anything that we could do to bring some people out.
And you're talking about you were like promoting shows.
Bingo.
Like
this, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.
Promoting shows. And also I was producing music for artists down in the Bay Area and some artists here locally. And so, you know, some of the artists up and coming, they wanted an opportunity to display their talent. So what we would do with the show is, knowing that, you know, maybe some people knew these artists, maybe some people didn't, we would have them open, and then we would have a DJ play more familiar music, you know, come towards later in the evening. Okay, so it kind of gives an opportunity to expose some of these artists that we were producing.
And what kind of venues locally were you doing these shows at?
Oh, so the venues, you know, would be Nocturnum at the time, Red Fox at the time, Mazzotti's here and there in Arcata when he wanted to do like some Thursday night Reagan nights and things like that. Okay. Love Joe to death out there. Great guy, man. He's just ambitious. Hey, yeah, come on out. So these were the type of venues that anything that we could get our hands on. Obviously, Club West that turned into Indigo closed down at the time, but we got a couple shows off there before that happened, unfortunately. Yeah. But yeah, it happened to be that, you know, Red Fox and us, we threw some really fun, great shows. Love B. Swizzlow, the Death, Brian. He also is the one of the owners of Fat Bowl. And so he was already doing fashion right there too. So we just clicked it off. Great guy. And he's a musician himself. You know, he's magic on the keyboard. Yeah. And so we had some great connections with him. And so after doing a few shirts, we just could not find printers to make these shirts profitable. And one of the guys that I was you know, linking up with that I wanted to print shirts, he's like, look, I'm gonna be honest with you, man, I'm about to move to Vegas, and I can't get rid of the shop for anybody, you know, so maybe we could work out a deal, some payments, you know. And this shop at the time was right next to the Red Fox, so my big ambitious mouth, yeah, sure, let's do it. Yeah, I'm a yes guy, you know. Let's learn from our mistakes. I'm gonna make mistakes and learn from them. So I jumped right in. And I'm sitting here trying to watch YouTube videos on how to print. I thought, hey, yeah, you just put the ink through the screen, it's gonna, yeah, no problem, we're gonna do this. No, it's a craft. So we had to find our best to find some good printers and get things going. So in 2011, that's when we took over the screen printing shop right next to the Red Fox. And so we had Brian over there at the Red Fox. We were right there, right next to us. We're like, hey, let's throw some shows. Let's talk about fashion. Let's get some things going. And we didn't think that we were going to have that good of a response. So since I did graphic design, since we had a screen printing shop, our business model we thought was going to be 80% printing and designing for companies and 20% Humboldt Republic. But man, Humboldt, you got to love it. Just the local support, the amount of people that came in and bought, and we were just selling out. And within the first year, we outgrew that little spot and came over to the spot that we're at now on 4th and G Street. So, I was actually thankful I didn't leave to the city. I probably, who knows, I could have done well. I could have eaten alive. The competition's fierce down there. But I'll tell you what, the love that you receive from locals here is just like nowhere else.
Would it be fair to say that when you first started out, the styles that you were producing were ones that you could envision people wearing at, for example, a Red Fox Tavern show? Like, this is, I'm going to clothe the people that are gathering to these kind of events that we're throwing.
Indeed. You know, so what I did is, like anything that I jump into, I wanted to do some market research. So I kind of just did it the old fashioned way. And I went around asking strangers. I walked in the mall that were buying clothes. And I'd say, hey, you know, if you saw another, you know, Humboldt County line open up, you know, what's the complaints of the lines you have now? What would you like to see? And surprisingly, a lot of people would see, you know, everything's marijuana, everything's weed, everything's marijuana. I don't want to wear weed on myself. You know, and then the other complaints is, you know, every time I buy a shirt, everybody has the same shirt. So I'm like, you know, when I designed for some brands in LA, they were like the model in LA every week, there's something new coming out. So I told my partner at the time, I go, look, man, let's take a different approach. Let's not just focus in on purely weed. If Humboldt's on a shirt, that means weed. We don't have to put a leaf behind the name Humboldt, you know?
Okay.
So I was like, let's do that. Because here's the thing. How many of us were in high school and we had to flip our shirts inside out, or we weren't allowed to wear this? Let's give something that the youth might be able to wear and appreciate too. So I wanted to encompass, you know, wildlife. I wanted to encompass beaches and redwood trees. And if you put a beach and a redwood tree and you put Humboldt and you wore that down in LA, they're going to say, hey, you got the weed, man. So it didn't matter if weed was on the shirt or not. If you wore the name Humboldt, you were branded.
Yeah.
So the approach we wanted to do is kind of give something for everybody to wear, but still not leave out what has made our economy. You know, we have nothing but love for the growers. So a lot of people are like, what, you guys anti-grow because you don't put weed on shirts? I go, no. Like, you know, 7 out of 10 of my friends are involved in the industry and I love them all to death. I want to give them something so they don't get a random airport check.
Yeah. Right. And am I right that you grew up in this area? Yeah. So
absolutely.
So you're reflecting what you've seen your whole life.
Absolutely. What I wanted to do is I wanted to take our influences here, and I also wanted to take a drop of what's going on in the mainstream and combine them. And, you know, that might be an oxymoron to a lot of people. You know, a lot of people will take a lot of pride in Humboldt that we're not like other people and let's not make it that way. But what I wanted to do is kind of stay current as much as possible, not too current, but current as much as possible, pay attention to what's actually going on in the fashion world, dumb it down a little bit and add the Humboldt feel.
Yeah. And just to be clear, like, you know, a big aspect of why you found your way to this work is because you were a graphic designer. Yeah,
indeed.
And so what and like, how did you pick that up? How did that become something you pursued?
You know, so in high school, you know, I'm a little older. And in high school, they didn't have like a lot of programs.
Yeah.
And I took like Photoshop 3, I think it was at the time. Okay. And I fell in love with it. But nobody was really involved with computers in my house. My pops, he did marketing and things like that. He kind of really kind of at the moment shunned me away from it. But it was something I was really attracted to. And right when I got out of high school, I wanted to live on my own. So I just joined the workforce. You know, I went to go to Harper Ford and detail cars and started saving up money. And my parents, you know, together, they made too much money for me to get financial aid. So I saved up as much as I can, went out to CR, fell in love with it. And all the teachers out there said, hey, you're really good at this. You have a knack. So really, you know, the people that I were looking up to gave me good words to be able to give me the motivation I needed, you know, and that positive reinforcement told me, hey, maybe I am all right at this. So, being that I loved music also, I was kind of designing CD covers, flyers for promoters, things like that. And I had a friend's dad say, hey, can you make me a card? And I made him a business card. He loved it. Then some of his other associates are like, wow, that's a nice card. Can you make me one? And a light bulb went off and I go, graphic design sells itself. You don't even have to promote it. Like if one person likes your work, somebody else is going to say, hey, can I, you know, can I get this? And not knowing what direction I wanted to take in life, I just started seeing opening doors. And I said, look, if I don't know what I want to do, can I at least walk through the ones that are open now? And it just kept opening more doors.
Wow. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit then about, you know, how this last year has been for your business, because this last year has definitely been a little bit different.
Yes.
To say the least. Has it had much of an impact on your business? And what are some ways that you had to adapt? Did you have to change operations there at all because of COVID? And
absolutely. You know, one of the, oh man, I'm not going to talk for hours, so I'm going to try to really summon this up. Right when we were forced to close, it got nerve-wracking. And because, you know, I'll be honest with you, there's not a lot of profit margin on a t-shirt. What makes you profitable in the clothing world is consistency. So when somebody says, hey, you're probably gonna have to shut down for a couple months, you know, it was really nerve-wracking. So I said, hey, I can't have my store open. I can't sell clothing. We could still do this online. And then I said, you know what else I could do? I could really step out and get back to my roots. And so while we were forced to close, we were still doing online as much as possible, but I got back to designing for other people. And then I got back to, you know, a lot of the companies that were considered essential, thankfully, marijuana and cannabis was, I was really thankful for that, because farms, they help keep us afloat. Hey, we need shirts. So even though my doors are closed, I kept that wheel spinning, you know, and I'm very blessed that I had the opportunity to do that compared to other clothing stores. I was really feeling for it. They didn't have printing machines in the back of their shops. So I wanted to try to help them out as much as possible too, and do some collaborations and talk in that sense and see what they were facing and what we were facing and coming together. But being able to print really kept us afloat. And then when we opened back up in June, we were really thankful that we were able to open. And I'll tell you again, thankful that I live in Humboldt. I love you, Humboldt. I really do. Because when we opened our doors, we had people pouring in saying, oh, thankful. I'm so glad you didn't close. Oh, I'm so. And they were more happy than we were that we were open. And they just flooded in, and just the love and local support, man. I just really love this place for it. It was awesome. But the next trial and tribulations, I told myself, because being that I'm in the industry, know the industry, I go, oh my God, if we were shut down for, you know, 3 months, so were the manufacturers in LA. And the way things work is some manufacturers, they manufacture every 3 to 6 months. So I go, even though we're able to order garments now, in 3 months, I bet you we're going to start seeing a shortage. And what do you know? Come August, September, I try to order certain shirts, like, we're out of stock. I go, when are you going to get them again? December. I'm sitting there going, oh my goodness. You know, in the retail world, if most people don't know, the last two quarters of business is how you make your year. Quarter one, you know, the first 3 to 6 months, that's not your sales. So, you know, the last 6 months of the year is where you really make your money. And so when we're getting into the last, you know, quarter three and quarter four, and we're not able to order stock, that became a real big challenge. Yeah. So I had to drive down to LA, find upcoming manufacturers, actually, you know, talk to warehouses that shut down their sites to see if I could buy stock on hand. They were actually grateful. They're like, hey, you know, we can't really advertise that we're selling garments because we get in trouble. But we were so thankful you came down to visit. You know, we're all masked up, all that good stuff, and started just loading up the trucks and bringing garments back here to Eureka to print on them.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, we had a lot of challenging and facing, and believe it or not, we're still facing those challenges. My heavy duty shirts are one of my popular shirts for a lot of the guys out here. And right now my main colors that I could get is black and white, when I used to have, you know, 8-9 colors that I would get for these guys. So we still face a stock challenge, and that's difficult. It's beautiful to be open back up, but it's really difficult when you can't have your max potential of stock to be able to provide for your, you know, your customers.
Yeah. I was going to say that, you know, since things have been open again, and you were kind of talking about this, like having all of this Humboldt love and support, it does seem like, at least I've read about, you know, that since COVID, we've really seen like a big shift from services to goods as what people are spending their money on. And then also it seems like at least locally, we've had a really big push for supporting local businesses. I mean, it kind of sounds like you already said it. Like, have you actually now seen business even growing since all of this? Or would you say it's about the same? Or
so right now we're doing about the same, which is I'm very blessed and thankful for. The growing side of it, the people that are in good opportunities and situations, they're blessing us, coming down and supporting us. But there's a lot of people out there still having very hard times. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, I have nothing but love and support for them. I have so many people that say, man, I would shop more with you if I could. You know me, I would come down. You know, I have people that would visit me 3 to 5 times a year, but they're having hard times. And I'll be honest with you, if you have to decide, should I get a new sweatshirt or should I put some food on my plate? I sure hope you put food on your plate, you know, because at the end of
the sweatshirts don't taste good. They don't.
Nah, I mean, they might for a goat.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, we all have clothing in our closets. Anybody that walks through my door is here because they have a little extra income to be able to spend. And I'm grateful when we have the stimulus. You know, I wish they would have done the stimulus a little bit more for the people of America. And the reason being is I'm not going to trash billionaires in this pod. But what I'm going to say is the billionaires always find a way to get the money. It doesn't matter who spends it. It still ends in their pocket. So I say, give the people the money. They're going to spend it. You're going to get it either way. So I wish that we would have had a few more stimuluses and help out with our communities, you know, because a lot of people are facing hard times. I'm grateful that we had good unemployment, and I'm grateful for the people that that wasn't able to collect unemployment because they were essential. You know, that was, I felt like a hard time for our country, for people to continue working their job at a regular rate, watching other people not working, getting paid really well with unemployment. You know, I was hoping that nobody would have animosity in all of this, and that we love and support all the people that continuing working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you able to, you know, get any kind of
the PPP.
PPP, thank you. Any of that kind of stuff to help you out during those closures?
You know, like I said, words can be taken out of context. I'll try my best to not sound haterish. But unfortunately, I applied for so many things, and the only thing that I got was the very first PPP, which I was absolutely grateful for, but that one didn't make sense to me. And here's the reason why. They forced us to shut down. Then they offer me PPP. And what that is money that is spent on my wages. I can't take, and a little bit for my, there's a little bit that is put aside for bills and utilities, but it's tough when you say, hey, shut your store down. Here's some money to pay your employees, keep your employees working, but we're not working like we were, you know? So I'm sitting here spending money to keep my employees doing half the production that we're usually doing. So that money wasn't as well spent as it should be, because we weren't. Now that PPP would have been great if the doors were open, but if the doors are closed, my production's shooting at half. I'm glad that I was able to get my employees some money though, and able to employ them, because they need to put food on their plates. But, you know, I also would have understood if they said, hey, you know what, Jason, I kind of want to collect this unemployment because I'm fearful to catch COVID and unemployment's playing great. I would have totally appreciated and respected any employee that wanted to do that. But shout out to my employees. They stuck through it. And to be honest with you, they might have even made more with unemployment. So, again, shout out to my employees, knowing that I had the hardship that I was facing. They stood behind my back. They were spinning the wheels. They were packages, you know, so I'm really grateful and thankful for my team for sticking by my side.
Great.
And roughly how big is the operation, your employees? And
so my team's small.
Okay.
You know, we're 4 to 5 people. We're okay, a small team. And part of me doesn't want to say that because a lot of people think we're a lot bigger than that, but part of me does, because I want to shoot the credit for my small team for making such a big thing happen. You know, finding employees in my profession in Humboldt's difficult. there's not a lot of people that get out of high school and say, you know what, I want to do fashion, or you know what, I want to be a screen printer. But I'll tell you what, a lot of people want to hit those hills because if you, screen printing's tedious, and you know, getting paid 16, 17 bucks an hour doesn't sound as appealing as going to go trim pounds. And nothing but love for all the people that have worked here and went to hit the hill the summer. I you know, I had a few employees that go, hey, it's summertime, I'm going to go hit the hill. And I said, you go make that money, man, because everybody's got, hey, everybody's got to look out for their life. And it'd be pretty selfish of me to be like, oh, what? No, don't leave me. But, you know, you just got to understand nature, the nature of it, you know?
So as you look, ahead to the summer and with things opening up, like where does your focus shift? Like what are you looking forward to as far as your business?
So believe it or not, I'm going to keep everything going the way we're going, but I am going to shift a few gears. This summer, I'm going to be planning on making quite a few more generic tourist shirts. Shirts that say Eureka on it, shirts that say Humble. And I've had a few people say, Jason, like, why would you do that? And I go, right now, nature's the new entertainment. Like, people are not going out to clubs. They're not, you know, a lot of people are still fearful of COVID, but I tell you what, I bet you people are going to be camping. And if you live in LA or San Francisco, where do you want to go if you're going to nature? Come up here. So I want businesses to have hope and be prepared. I have a good feeling that we might get more travelers and foot traffic that might be wanting to check out the Redwoods, might be wanting to go on road trips. And I noticed that when we were able to open up last summer, I was surprised on how many people were just passing through town, a little nervous too, because I didn't understand COVID at the time, a little fearful. And I'm like, oh my God, these are like people from out of the area. I'm seeing reports about, you know, the biggest reason why we have COVID in our area is because of outside influences. So I had to really double down on the precautions and safety and remind people to wipe down counters and things like that. But I one of the reasons why I'm shifting gears is I feel like we might get a decent amount of tourism this year. You know, nature's the new club.
Yeah, I like that. And so you know, there's really a big difference in what tourists look for when they go into a clothing store versus what locals would be looking for.
Absolutely. The tourists, most of them do not care about marijuana. They do not care about the new trendy looks. They want something with redwood trees. They want something that says Humble. They want something very simplistic. You know, I was not a word. I make words as I go. Don't mind me. Ultrally surprised that how many people want a shirt that says Eureka on it, you know? And Maybe the person that says "I love Eureka" stickers had something going that I didn't understand.
Well, I'll correct you. He only likes Eureka.
Yeah, it's I like Eureka.
Love. Oh yeah, I like Eureka. Yeah.
We don't even have it. I love Eureka.
Hey, there you go. You know, I
think we've always joked that sticker is kind of like passive aggressive. It's more like the tone is more like, I like Eureka.
Yeah.
It's like, it's funny you say that. Half defense.
I've had so many people ask me to make that shirt, and I really wish I could have met the person because I refused to make it because it was somebody else's, you know, conscious thought. But man, the amount of people that came into my shop and like, hey, do you have that shirt? I'm like, I wish I knew who designed this, man, because he could have made some money with that shirt.
It's a mystery individual.
Yeah. It sure is. Hey, if you're listening, mystery man, come talk to me. We'll make you some shirts.
Okay. I hope that this results in that. That would be great. I would. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I would want one of those shirts.
I'm keeping my mouth shut right now.
We might have.
Can I bribe you? Free shirts. Insight. Free shirts. Yeah.
Okay. I was also curious. Like you kind of answered it, and how you've just also changed. You know, how you're planning to sort of change products and production a little bit moving forward. Like, have you found that what people, local people too, like what they're looking for has changed at all since COVID? Like you already, like we've talked about earlier, kind of do sort of casual, comfortable clothes. And that seems to be the way that fashion is going. But like, have you come up with any pandemic era designs, or did you start doing like masks at all? We've seen a lot of places doing that, or at least carrying them.
Yes. So I refused to do masks for the first, I'd say the first 3 months. And the reason being is I saw a lot of like stay-at-home moms out there crafting masks together. And I think that it, you know, I think that was a really big like source of income. So I kind of just like let everybody get their feet, you know, on the ground making their own masks, because for some people that was their bread and butter. And I had the ability to print shirts and things still. So I kind of wanted everybody to have a little hope in that sense. But I would say in the last 2 months, we started making some masks with our graphics on it and, you know, have a great response of it. The mask thing too is now we're wondering what mask we should make, because we hear that the gator masks, which is kind of like the scarf mask that you pull over, that could also be, you know, a headband and things like that, that that one isn't as compliant as far as being able to stop the spread. So we also are trying to pay attention to what masks are approved and not. And the masks are definitely something that we switch gears with, but you nailed it earlier, the loungewear. I actually have, you know, a lady's loungewear that's really not, it's not like fully meant to be outside, you know, but you totally could, but it's like a nice, soft, silky feeling loungewear that's kind of meant just to be ultra comfortable in the house, you know, mm-hmm. as like the milk microfibers and all that type of stuff. So loungewears, mm-hmm. we're starting to do matching sets, things like that. I just actually put a picture up on my Instagram a couple days ago of a matching tie-dye set, and just the response is I have to order more, you know, so we're gonna get more of those going. So I just usually let the people talk. I'll put something up, if people love it, I'll multiply that. If people don't, we hit the drawing boards and go back to it. As you guys were as you guys would know, with the Lost Coast Outpost, people will tell you their opinion.
I've experienced this. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm sure you have.
So you know, we touched on this a little bit, but I want to talk about one of the things that I feel makes your company unique as opposed to I assume most other clothing brands, and that's that you are designing clothes for a specific geographic area. And it occurred to me that, you know, in a way it's similar to the way that Loco has operated, you know, focus on being hyper local, because that's a way that, say, an outsider who may have more resources can't touch you. You know, you know your audience, you know the Humboldt brain. What's it like to have to cater to, you know, a very finite region like this? How does that affect the way that you approach your work and the designs that you conceive?
You know, it's challenging, but I really, like I said, having so many different demographics walk through the door has, I felt, made me a better designer and more understanding person, even just opening up dialogue. I didn't realize how offensive shirts can be. You know, I had a Native American friend. He's like, man, you never do Native stuff. And I was like, oh, okay. And I made a shirt and he loved it. And I, you know, I posted it and I was just being really naive. And this was in my early years, and that it was really offensive to a lot of the Native American tribes in our area. And it opened up a really big dialogue, and it had some of the elders that haven't spoke with each other for a while come together. And I had, you know, students interviewing me, and I learned a lot from the people, you know, and some things that you might not think about. You'll put a shirt out there, it might be offensive, they'll tell you about, they'll plant a seed in your mind, you'll see other scenarios in life, and you get educated through it. So the having so many different demographics and walks of life in our area has been like rewarding to me as a person. And Humboldt, I love it because we're really free thinkers here, you know, and we have a lot, like per capita, the amount of artists we have in our area is just, it's amazing. So the amount of artists that will come in, tell me their perspective, what they appreciate about my art. And a lot of, you know, there, I get a lot of criticism too, and I take it all in. And so I like my area for that. Now, the tough thing is I have a lot of hunting friends. So I used to make hunting shirts, and then I'd have my vegan friends being like, man, you are like promoting the slaughtering of animals. And I was like, oh my God, I never looked at it like that before. Like my brother hunts, you know? So I shifted gears with my hunting shirts, where instead of putting like a guy with a gun on a shirt and an animal, I would just put the animal. And then, you know, the vegan people are like, hey, I like a buck. And the hunter's like, hey, that's what I see.
Okay. You've brought hunters and vegans together with a t-shirt design.
I don't know if I brought them together, but they might be wearing the same shirt at the same time.
Okay. There you go.
Anybody that starts a clothing line or anything in the public eye, the best advice I could give them is, you know, just understand we're all engulfed in our own realities. And instead of just rejecting criticism, just, you know, I feel like information's a seed. Just let them plant that seed, water it a little bit. If it grows something good, pick the fruit. If not, chop the tree down. But at the end of the day, accept the seed. You know what I mean? And so that's what I do with criticism. When people come and criticize, because they do that a lot here in Humboldt, I think almost more in other places, I let that seed plant. I put some water on it. If it grows to something good, I might switch gears.
You know, I think that you bring up a good point too in this about about the impact that fashion can have. You know, what you wear on your body makes a big statement to the world.
I'm loving what you're saying, because that was my biggest underestimate when it came to this business. You know, that was the last thing I thought I would have to think about. You know, I just said, hey, I like making graphics. I like clothing. Let me put some graphics on clothing. I did not realize like the impact and positively and negatively. You know, I've made many designs before that I didn't realize was offensive. And, you know, I take a step back and think, you know, I'm in this to make people happy. So if there's times where before I print now, I put the design up on my personal page. If I get a lot of good review on it, I'll print it. If I don't, I won't, because we can always design something else. So now I kind of filter and vet my process by just throwing it out there first. So if people are going through the hashtags and they see the design and have a problem with it, they'll say something. If they love it, they'll say something. So I try to really vet out what people are liking and not.
Okay. So you crowdsource, you put something out there, and if it fizzles, you're like, okay, I guess I didn't hit it that time. But if people are smashing that like button, then you're printing that shirt.
Absolutely. I feel like having a clothing store is almost like a service to the community. I've said this before, and it's nothing to insult my own line, but if I filled my store up with garments and fashion that I like, I would have failed the first year, like fast. I'm kind of weird. So, you know, I'll wear something with a zipper on the side. You
know what I mean? Like, yeah. So I imagine that's really changed your design, you know, process throughout all this, like how your brain now works when you just come up with a design, right? Like, you're thinking about what are people going to like versus just like, what do you like? Like, where does it come from when you just come up with a design that you're thinking about?
You know, on those? A lot of my influence is our ultra hype in our society right now. I pay attention to a lot of stuff going on in our society, and it's really saddening. You know, I purposely follow left-wing news and right-wing news, and I try to see the middle of it. And I've even been called a centrist before just because they're like, oh, you got to pick a side, you know. But I really feel that a lot of things that are going on, we're having a big transition in our society, and some for good and some for bad. So what I try to do is I'd say a good 20-30% of my designs have something to do with what's going on currently. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that could get me in hot water, and sometimes that could have a really ingenious design. Like one of the designs that had such a mixed review that I did was one that was the Devil's Playground. And what I did is I pitched that as kind of like a zombie movie. And so anybody from out of the area, they would have thought, oh, the Devil's Playground, what a great way to explain the apocalypse, while locals are like, oh my God, the Devil's Playground, that's ingenious. So when I made that design, it was more of just something that was going on, because at the time they were destroying it, you know, they were bulldozing it. And I had a couple of graffiti artists actually bring me a chunk of the wall because they appreciated what we did and what we were doing. But at the same note, I didn't see the other perspective that, you know, some people are like, wow, man, you're really highlighting something bad, and that's not good of you. And I tried to tell them, you know, Republic means the people of. So when I kind of have a responsibility sometimes to, you know, expose the good and the bad. Mm. And that was one that got me in hot water. But then I had other ones that, for the really big push on Women's International Day in 2016, I made a design because I was watching women from the left and women from the right just eating each other alive. And so I made a design that had a, you know, about four or five females on it, kind of like looking in the distance. And the message was rise by lifting others. There's times where I see an opportunity to maybe put out something inspirational that might bring both sides together. And sometimes it doesn't, you know, so I still take a stab at it.
How did that do? I'm curious, was how that was received, that design.
Oh man, I really want to pat myself on the back because I saw cowgirls coming in and I saw hippie girls coming in. And you know, I had Trumpers wanting to wear it, and I had Bernie people loving it too. So it was a good feeling to see both sides wearing it, because the message still stands, whether if you're on the right or the left, you know. And so I was really happy to see people with two different ideologies wearing a shirt saying, hey, we should rise by lifting each other.
One of the other things that you seem to do pretty regularly is, and I don't know how you refer to them, but the way that I would characterize them is that they're parody designs.
Yes.
Is that how you would categorize this?
You nailed it, man. Oh, that is okay. The hottest of the hot water. God. So
yeah,
I love parodies to death, because people love the brands that they see, but with a local twist to it. So parodies for me is something that I truly love, but I get ultra backlash on those.
Why do you get backlash?
I will never throw anybody under the bus, but I'll have certain artists, you know, send me messages saying, you know, Jason, that's really dumbing down humbled art. You know, there's nothing creative about that. I go, oh man, the comedic relief behind it is the creative part. Yeah. But so they will look at it that I didn't consciously come up with that thought myself. I just took already established idea and just literally threw my local culture into it. And for them, that wasn't clever. You know, they liked more of my artistic pieces, which I could appreciate. So I really love parodies. A lot of people do. And the people, when I make a parody, it's for the people that that like it. And
well, but I figure like those have to be, you know, you're also a businessman. And I imagine like I specifically think of like, you know, the Golden State Warriors looking one that, you know, instead of the city, it says the county, and has a redwood scene in that yellow or golden blue design. And I have to figure, you know, I saw that everywhere for a few years.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I mean, you gotta, you're in business to make money also, in addition to the artistic aspects of it. So people still get pushback on that.
Yeah. So I get pushback so much that when I did the Patagonia parody, somebody hated it here locally so much that they complained to Instagram. They went to Patagonia, said, we're trying to steal their brand. I had to talk to like four or five Patagonia lawyers.
Oh, wow.
yeah. Explain to them my business model, how many we made, what we're up against, you know, and Patagonia came hard a little bit quickly until we had a good conversation. They're like, oh, this is just like a parody design. I'm like, yeah. They're like, okay, you know, we were informed that like you were taking this and making this your logo. And our, you know, the parodies I believe are what got our original Instagram shut down. We had about 25,000 followers, and out of the blue one day it disappeared, and we couldn't log in, and I couldn't get a reason why, and nothing was offensive. Nothing. I couldn't get it. So maybe, maybe a few of these people that did not like the parodies were just constantly flagging my page as trademark infringement. Yeah.
Because we were curious about that aspect of it too, when we were preparing for this interview, like the legalities of that. I mean, obviously we figure as a company owner, you wouldn't be doing that if it wasn't allowed, but it seems like there's sort of this fine line, like you can't adopt somebody else's design to use as your own logo, but then like doing a parodies is okay.
Right.
You've seen that. Have you seen that Nathan For You? Do you know what I'm talking about? Where he does. He opens a store and calls it Dumb Starbucks.
I haven't.
Oh, you need to go check it because it.
I need to.
Because he goes through this whole thing and you know, the nut of it is that, you know, it's legal to do because it is parody and you know, and there are parody laws that protect speech in that way.
what you really got to do is you can't use it as your corporate identity. A parody is for fun, comedic relief. The second you want to take a parody and say, this is my image, this is my company, that's the hot water, you know?
Yeah.
Also, it needs to be changed enough. The problem that I have with my Patagonia one, I didn't change it enough. You know, I kept the Fitzgerald skyline wasn't changed enough. The skies, when I talked with them, we had a great conversation. They go, you know, we've seen your other parodies. Those ones have more changes than the Patagonia one. So I had a great talk with them. It was really educational for me. And I should have changed that one more. If I did, it would have totally been fine. But since I didn't, it wasn't. And luckily for us, since we come out with a new design every week, we only print 50 to 100 of each design. We didn't really make a big impact negatively with them. So they were like, oh, you're not mass producing this. I'm going, no, man, I'm a screen printing shop in a town of 30,000 people.
Yeah. Okay.
And here's the thing that I've noticed about businesses is the juice worth the squeeze. If you make a parody and they send their lawyers after you, are they going to win something or is it just going to be a waste of their time? You know,
yeah.
So for a company like me, that's printing 50 to 100 garments, am I really touching too much hot water or am I being offensive? You know, it's a fine line. And it depends on if I'm impacting the company's image negatively, that might be something that they might address, you know, but as long as I'm having a good time, like a prime example, Red Bull. About 7 years ago, I made a Red Bull parody and I put Humble. I didn't even think it was that great of a design. Sold fast. And then all of a sudden, the Red Bull main promoter guy and their top DJ were traveling from San Francisco to Portland, happened to stop in my store. And then they started pointing at the sweatshirt. And then they started like, hey, can we get those? And then they started taking all of them down. I'm like, and one of my employees at the time was like, dude, I don't know. This might not be good. These guys are from Red Bull. I'm like, oh, God. Oh, no. And they loved it. Like, absolutely loved it. They wanted to buy them all. The DJ bought, like, three of them in the same size for himself. He said he's going to wear them at his events and take pictures. So it's funny how some companies embrace it. Others take offense, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Jason, we're getting kind of near our time here. So I guess maybe we'll end, on this note. You know, you've clearly had to navigate some waters, but you've done well for yourself. Maybe you can just kind of like impart some wisdom to people that may be looking to, you know, start a business in Humboldt and share what you've learned about, you know, this unique area and what it takes to succeed here.
Absolutely. You know, the biggest thing that I tell people, and it's something that I kind of follow, is laws of attraction. You know, some people call it the secret. And the reason why I follow this is I always tell people, man, you got to think it before you do it. Everybody's out there daydreaming, but is everybody out there trying their dreams that they're dreaming about? You know, so many people is, I don't know what I want to do in life. I say, just do it. Just get out there and do it. If you think you can't, try. And you know, I hate speaking like this because it sounds so corny. Like I'm going to hate hearing myself when I hear this later, but it's so true. Everything that I have accomplished and everything that has crossed my path is something I was daydreaming about. Hey, I wish I could produce music. Then I try and I did. I wish I could graphic design. I tried and I did. I wish I could have 15 years ago, I would have never fathomed having a clothing line. It would have never been on my mind. But all these other little steps that I tried and failed at led me to the path here. So if you're out there and anybody's listening to this and there's something you're dreaming about, just do it. Fail at it and be happy you did. Because if whatever you're going to do, if you don't fail at it at least once or twice, then you're not really doing it.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Jason, for joining us. It's been a real pleasure talking to you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So Humboldt, check you out at humboldtrepublic.com. And your shop is over on 4th Street in Eureka.
4th and G Street. Yeah.
And thank you so much.
We just appreciate you, your willingness to jump in here and work with us and share your story with Humboldt.
Absolutely. And I also appreciate you guys taking the time to highlight the business. You know, you guys are really reputable and known in our area. So I thank you for taking the time and reaching out to me.
All right.
Thank you so much to Jason Brandy, owner and operator of Humble Republic. Can't wait to check out some of this leisure wear for women. Matching sets is the range in 2021. Just letting
also,
you know.
Also sweatpants.
Yeah, well, sweatpants are very practical always, and especially those. So.
We forgot to ask him about his design that says Humble Hits Different, because we were we were very interested in that phrase, Hits Different, and like, why is that having a moment right now? And well, I don't know. We can probably figure it out.
Okay, anyway. Well, thank you so much for listening, and hope that everybody is vaccinated and sporting their fresh new Humble looks real soon.
Yeah, Humble holding up the podcast that hits different. Thank y'all.
Hi. Baby, 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 baby. I need a ride slow jet for that booty.